All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you again. Just wanted to give a little report. Nancy's back home again, and her and Kamal send their greetings. Had an operation this week, and everything seems to be going well, so thank you for your prayers, or they thank you for your prayers and keep them in your prayers. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. We ask, Lord, that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us, Lord, I pray, to take your words and apply them to our hearts, Father. Again, we just want to thank you. Again, be with us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 24. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, the quadrupeds, the creeping things, and the wild animals of the earth according to their kind." So it was. So God made the wild animals of the earth according to their kind. The animal or the cattle according to their kind, and all the creeping things on earth according to their kind. God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Then let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that moves upon the earth." So God made man in the image of God, he made him. Male and female, he made them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." What I want to bring out this morning is, then God said, "Let us make man in our image." It tells that when God created the creatures, the cattle, all the things that are in the earth, they were after their kind. They were the same as what he was creating. They were created, and everyone was created after its own kind. When he got to man, he said, "Let us make man in our own image." You know, whenever one of the songs we sang today talked about angels, the angels are not created in the image of God. You know, we look at angels and we think, you know, they're glorious beings. But they were not created in the image of God. As we look at angels, we see that, you know, that when we talk about Satan, they had a will. You know, Satan rose up against God. He wanted to be worshipped as God. He wanted to be the same as God. And he was cast down. But there was something about the angels that wasn't in the image of God. I mean, they were one of God's creations. They could make choices, but yet there's something different about them. They were created to just reflect God. And they were created to worship God. You know, I don't know all the details, but just bringing the little things into perspective, you know, when we think about them and us. But they were not created in the image of God. But you and I were. You know, when we think about that, well, okay, God must look like me then. He's got two hands, two feet, two eyes, two ears, two legs, nose, mouth. So, is that what he meant whenever he was talking about we were created in the image of God? Well, you know, we see the angels or the pictures or the idea we have of angels. And basically, the only difference in some of them is what we imagine in our mind is they have wings. So, whenever God said we were created in his image, does it mean he just doesn't have wings? Or could it be that when he created us in the image of God, doesn't matter what body we're in so much. You know, we talked last week about our soul and that how, you know, when we think of ourselves, we don't see ourselves as getting older, but our bodies get older. And that's our soul. And that, I think, is what was created in the image of God, is our souls. Who we really are. So when we think of someone created in the image of God, we were created to have the same character, the same values as God. We were created to be like God. And when we think of God, you know, we think of the creator and the guy that's in charge of everything. But that's not what he means whenever we were created in his image. When we were created in his image, we were created to be good. When we think of godly, good and godly come from the same word. But to be godly is not to be pious and above everybody, but to be godly is to be actually godlike. And that's the significance of Jesus coming into this earth. He had a body just like you and I, but that's not what made him God or in God's image. What made Christ in God's image is he had all the goodness, the love, the mercy, the patience, all of the attributes of God. He had all of those intact. And he was in the image of God, walking on this earth. I read a thing this week, it was pretty interesting, about a college professor that was teaching his students. And, you know, we go to college, people go to college to learn something and to improve ourselves, but sadly, the college system has been used to simply program us. But, and this, in this case, which is in a lot of cases, these professors mock God, a lot of them. They hate God. They don't want the, and so, and I think that's a lot of the downfall of this country, is people get off and they think it's a good thing to go get educated, but what they come out with is people save to send their children, they used to send them to school, and they would send them to school and they'd come back completely poisoned. I know I've told you the story years ago about a man that was our age that was with the Methodist Church, and he was all zealous and believed the Bible. And so the conference saved up the money to send him to school to make him a solid preacher. Well, he went there, and it was a Bible school they sent him to. And within 1 year, he didn't even believe the Bible anymore. Within 1 year. This is at a Bible school that he didn't take it the way it said. He didn't even believe it. And by the time he finished the 4 years of college, he graduated with a business degree and went into business. That's the purpose. And this story that I started to tell was the professor, one of the first days of class, and they do this. They ask the pupils, did God create everything? And, you know, everybody's kind of scared to answer this question. Finally, someone said, yes, God created everything. And so the professor said, well, then how do you explain, if God created everything, how do you explain that God created evil? So all the evil in the world is God's fault if God created everything. Asking these questions to trap someone's mind into, wow, God must have created evil. And that's the way they do things. The problem is there's a lot of people that get so educated or so wise that they can ask a question that they can't answer themselves, so therefore God doesn't exist. They think they've got God stumped, and all they've done is stump themselves. This man asked the question, and so the students were just baffled here at the wisdom of this man. He just proved to them that God created evil. And one of the students in class raised his hands and said, can I ask you a question? And he said, you've said that God created evil. I want to ask you, did God create darkness? Or do you believe in darkness? Of course, he has to believe darkness. And he went on to say, well, what is darkness? Do you believe in it? Is it a real thing or not? Is it something? And, of course, darkness is something. But he said, in reality, there is no darkness. There is nothing darkness is nothing except for the absence of light. There's no light is where you get darkness. And so the degrees of darkness are the absence of light. I mean, without light, there's darkness, which is nothing, which is really not anything. And so the reality is, light is something, and darkness is not really anything. You take light out, and what's left is nothing. Darkness. He said, well, what about cold? If you take cold, you know, is cold real? Is cold something? Well, yeah, cold is something, the professor said. So he said, well, absolute cold, or the absolute minus or absence of any heat, is 420 degrees Celsius, they say. That means there's nothing there whenever it's that. Cold is just a reflection of something that's not warm. Cold is just the degree of the absence or the presence of heat or warmth. But in itself, it's nothing really, except for the absence of the real. And And he said, evil is simply the absence of good. Just like cold and just like darkness. It's just without. Evil is the absence of God. Without God, you have evil. And the professor was probably today would have thrown the man out of class and it had all been over. But the man that gave those arguments was a man called Einstein. That was his reasoning. I don't know whether he actually followed all of this or not, but whenever he was in school, that's just following his reasoning. That was his reasoning. And so when you look at evil in the world, everybody wants to blame God for the evil, or blame God for death, or blame God for sickness, or blame God for all of these things. The reason all those things are here is because God has been overthrown in man. The fall of man is because God has been overthrown in man's heart. Whenever we look at when Adam sinned, we read about last week, whenever he fell, you know, we think, well, he just messed up. No. When he chose to listen to Satan instead of God, he reflected a new being instead of what he was created to reflect. In fact, he could no longer even reflect that goodness or be in the image of God anymore because he had become dead. We talked about what death means. He died. And so he could no longer actually be in the image of God because he died. Now the only hope that man had was reaching up to God, seeing who he is and striving to just keep from being overwhelmed by Satan completely. That's why the laws and all those things came in, is to be a defense against just being completely sucked in to Satan and darkness. You know, they talk about the black hole where there's the absence, and it's so powerful, everything that gets near it gets sucked into a black hole. It's just it's some kind of never-ending thing that just sucks in dark, sucks things in, and it just into darkness, the absence of light. And so when God established and gave his promise to Adam and then on to Abraham, his promise was, I will redeem you from this state that you're in. But you've got to keep yourselves from being sucked in to the darkness. You know, there was no remedy for sin. That's why in the Bible that God had the children of Israel completely destroy nations, that there was no light in anymore. They were totally dark. And to keep that darkness from engulfing the children of Israel, God had the children of Israel to get rid of them completely. That's why in the Bible, when someone committed a sin, they were to be stoned and put to death. Because there was no remedy. You know, people who had bad habits in the Old Testament never got over them. Today, people can get over habits, not because they've learned how, but because Jesus died and give us the power and the ability to be set free from them. God is good. And he sets people free sometimes whether they decide to follow him or not. He heals people whether they follow him or not, because God is good. That's why when Jesus walked the earth, everyone that came to him He healed that we know of. He healed and helped and did what he could because he was God in the flesh and the reflection of goodness even among these people who may not even care about the image of God. They just want healed. They just want the benefits. And they believed enough that this man could do it. And that was good enough. Because God is good. But when man fell, he lost that image of God that God had instilled at creation. When Jesus came, he came to give us the opportunity. He came to give us the image of God back on the earth. And when he was crucified and gave up his life, Satan couldn't have killed him. But he gave up so that he could enter into Satan's realm and defeat Satan and release those that were in his bondage. That's why he overcame death and hell and was victorious and is alive. That's why you and I have the opportunity to either remain in the condition we're in or to be restored to having the image of God. The term born again, that's what that means, is to be restored into the image of God. That's what a Christian is, someone who is restored or is Christ-like, restored into his image. Today, people talk about born again, talk about saved, talk about all those things. But it's just something that adds to my life. But it doesn't really change it. Oh, we might quit a couple of bad habits. We might quit doing some things. And, you know, we might go to church now and do all kinds of things like that. But we've never been restored to the image of God. And that is what will enter to heaven. That is what's truly saved, is those who have his image. When he looks upon the sheep and the goats and does the dividing, you know what he's looking for? It's not the goat hair or the wool or the bat. He's looking for his image. He's looking for his image on us. You know, the only thing that's going to save humanity, you and me, is when God looks upon us and he sees himself in us. That's why there's nothing that we can manufacture that will ever pass the test. That's why religion, that's why good works, as it were, won't save you. What saves us is having his image. And having his image creates in us a new relationship, a new reflection, a new spirit that is as the Spirit of God. That's what being born again is. We're recreated into his image so that now the goal of our life is not just to be religious and get by with what we can, like it's talked about. You know, I appreciated that thought. You got to own this for yourself. Not not just the religion. You've got to own the opportunity that you have to become a reflection of the image of God. You can be religious in 99,000 different ways. But if that image of God isn't stamped on your heart to be like Him, you're missing it. You've got to own that for yourself. You've got to claim that for yourself, and you've got to want that for yourself. All of those ugly things that are in you that you see pop out and come out, you're going to have to choose. Is that the image of God? You know, we get defensive sometimes whenever we get challenged about being wrong. We get our pride hurt sometimes. Like I've said 1,000 times, or at least 100 or so, don't worry about your poor pride. It'll heal, sadly. Let it kill you. If your pride gets hurt, it's because there's usually something in there that don't belong, that has a dulling effect of reflecting the image of God. Now, I think most religion is just taking ourselves a little too seriously, thinking that I can actually do some things and actually accomplish things. And when that gets challenged, ooh, boy, it hurts. It's hurting because there's something in there that is not able to reflect goodness, mercy, and love. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus, that's what He was. And we talked about next week, yeah, sometimes He got pretty straight with people. Sometimes He got upset. God has all of those things. But He got upset about the right things. And He was still reflecting the image of who He was created after. Because that's who He was. And that's what He wants for us. That's what it means to be born again. Like I said, people all day long get born again, and they'll quit a bad habit or two and just start going to church. But boy, you let somebody cross them, and they're right there in the middle of going to defend themselves, going to get things set straight. That's why Jesus said, you know, turn the other cheek. Be like Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. It says, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about all this thing, all this is there. You love your enemies, the heart of it. That's why it says it's in the law and the prophets. This, we need the image of God. In the old, the laws and those things that were there were to a defense so that we wouldn't just get completely sucked in when there was no remedy. Now we have that remedy. We can be redeemed. And we have the things that it was even talking about now. This is the heart of what it wanted. You know, know, in the Old Testament, you love your enemies or your neighbor and hate your enemy. Your enemy was going to destroy you and destroy the chance of God coming in the flesh. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We don't have to do that anymore. We can be like God. So that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. So that you may be the sons of your Father which is in heaven. That's given us a picture. Father has a son. And he wants him to reflect his own image. So for us to be the sons of God, what manner of love is this that we could be called the sons of God? It says in John, 1 John, so that you may be the sons of God. That's that image being re-stamped upon our hearts. Stamp thine own image on our hearts. Not what we look like or the body we're living in, but who we are, our soul. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Therefore, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, we hear, well, nobody's perfect. And that's usually a big excuse for me to go out and sin. That's how it's portrayed. But the way you be perfect is not just living a flawless life, but it's in reflecting the image of Him who created us in His own image. How we treat others that's done us wrong. We can still let it rain on the just and the unjust. We got to see ourselves as, for one thing, we see ourselves as what we really are. As capable of any kind of evil as anybody else. Knowing that that's in us. It's just a breath away, as it were. And still is. You know, one of the sins God hates most is presumption. Well, I'm a child of God. He'll just love me no matter what I do. Or, well, I was brought up right. God will just overlook me. Or just presuming that we're above all of that. The sin of presumption. Or being able to see people like God sees them. Because we see ourselves. And we see His goodness and mercy. And we can be above having to drag ourselves through the mud of being the judge of who is and who isn't and all of those things. Jesus Himself didn't even do that when He was here. He treated people. He loved his neighbor as himself. anyway. We're created in the image of God. We lost it through Adam. But Christ has given us the opportunity to be that again. May the Lord have his blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. Ileana has asked to be baptized, so we'll probably try to plan on that sometime.
So. Singing at the nursing homes today at 2:30.
Okay.
We got Aurora and Mount Vernon.
All right, well, God bless y'all. Depart in peace.